Welcome back for another deep dive. This time, we're headed over to Sweden to explore this fascinating study on urban green spaces. And we're going way beyond just parks.
Yeah.
Thinking about all kinds of green spaces, forests, wetlands, even people's gardens.
Absolutely.
All about how Swedes interact with nature in these urban settings.
And it's amazing because it's not just a small survey or anything. This was a huge data set.
Oh, wow.
Researchers talked to over 2,800 people for this study.
Wow.
And it was across almost all of Sweden's municipalities.
So that's a pretty good picture then.
Yeah.
Of what's going on over there.
It was published in this journal, Urban Forestry and Urban Greening, which is a great journal, by the way.
Oh.
It's really the leading journal in that field.
So much data to think about.
Tons. It's like a gold mine.
It really is.
For understanding how people actually use these spaces.
Yeah. And, you know, if you think about it, just from an urban planning perspective.
Yeah.
Imagine you're trying to design these spaces that everyone's going to love. It's not as easy as just like planting some trees.
No, not at all. This study shows that it is way more complicated than you would think.
So let's get a sense of like the scene in Sweden.
Okay.
Like how green are we talking?
Yeah.
We always think of Sweden as being very beautiful, but it's a very urbanized country as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not all just forests and lakes.
So it's interesting because around 87% of Swedes actually live in urban areas.
Wow. Okay. So very urbanized.
Yeah. But here's the thing. They have a really strong policy focus in Sweden on creating what they call a good urban environment. And that means they're really serious about making sure everyone has access to good quality green spaces.
Right.
They actually have national strategies in place to encourage municipalities to integrate these spaces into their planning.
So it's not just like a coincidence they have good green spaces. It's very deliberate.
No, it's totally intentional.
Wow.
And while access is generally good, I mean, almost everyone in Sweden lives within 200 meters of a green space.
Oh, wow. That's great.
There is some surprising variation in how much green space is available.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How so?
Smaller settlements actually have 10 times more green space per person than the largest cities.
Wow. Okay, so you think it'd be the opposite.
You'd think, right.
Yeah.
But no, it's the small towns that are winning.
Interesting.
It kind of changes how you think about urban versus rural.
Yeah. Definitely.
So this leads us to like what the study is really about,
mm-hmm.
like what makes people actually use these green spaces.
Yeah.
Especially because, like we said, there are such variations.
Right. And people like different things.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking for something a little different.
And they found a lot of factors that play into this.
Like how many are we talking?
A lot.
Okay.
61 factors.
61.
That they identified that influence how often people use these spaces.
So where do we even begin to unpack that? Like, what are some of the big things that stood out to you?
Well, one of the really interesting things is the difference between people who use green spaces a lot.
Mm-hmm. Versus people who don't use them so much.
Okay.
And what they found was that frequent users, they tend to be older. They're usually in better health.
Okay.
And maybe surprisingly, they're more likely to be female.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Any idea why that would be?
It's tough to say for sure, but the study suggests that it might be because women feel safer and more comfortable in green spaces.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which might make them more likely to go there more often.
Yeah. Safety is definitely a big factor.
For sure.
Yeah.
What else did they find about these frequent users?
Oh, they also tend to have a stronger connection to nature in general.
Okay.
And they prefer natural green spaces like forests and meadows over more manicured parks.
So they're looking for that like wilder experience.
Exactly. They want something that feels more authentic.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, you have the infrequent users.
Okay.
They're typically younger. And they tend to gravitate towards spaces with more amenities.
Okay.
Like benches, playgrounds, maybe even a cafe.
So it's like two different mindsets almost.
Yeah, like two different groups with different motivations.
And different priorities.
Yeah, exactly.
So if we're talking about getting people, especially younger people, to love green spaces.
Yeah.
How do we bridge that gap?
Well, that's where this really interesting idea of nature connectedness comes in.
Okay.
The study found that people who feel a strong connection to nature, no matter their age or background, they're just way more likely to use green spaces.
Okay.
They see them as essential to their well-being.
I'm intrigued by this whole nature connectedness idea.
It's cool, right?
But what does that actually look like? Like, what do we mean by that?
It can be a lot of different things.
Okay.
Maybe it's that feeling of peace and tranquility when you're surrounded by trees or a fascination with observing wildlife,
mm-hmm.
or even just the simple joy of getting your hands dirty in a garden.
Okay.
It's about fostering that relationship with nature.
Yeah, like a sense of belonging almost.
Exactly, like you're a part of it.
Yeah.
But the question is, how do we help people develop that, especially if they haven't grown up around a lot of nature?
Right, because not everyone has that.
Exactly. And that's the million-dollar question, right? It's not just about building more green spaces. It's about designing them in a way that makes people want to interact with them and experience that sense of wonder.
Right.
So things like natural play areas, community gardens, even just quiet spaces for reflection can make a big difference.
Yeah.
It's about those opportunities for engagement.
Right. So not just passive observation.
Not just looking, but doing.
Yeah.
And it's also important to remember that quality isn't just one thing.
You mean what makes a good green space is subjective.
Totally.
Yeah.
This study highlights that some people prioritize natural features,
mm-hmm.
biodiversity, tranquility,
mm-hmm.
while others might be more drawn to well-maintained spaces with amenities,
okay.
like restrooms or clear pathways.
So that must make it tricky for urban planners.
Oh, it's a huge balancing act.
To cater to all those needs.
Yeah, you're trying to meet all these different preferences.
Right.
Some of which might even be conflicting.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's what makes urban green space planning so fascinating.
Yeah.
It's not just about ecology. It's about people and how they relate to nature. And it's not just about what people like. It's also about what makes them feel comfortable.
Right, because we talked about safety earlier.
Yeah, and that was a big one in the study.
Okay.
There was a big difference between frequent and infrequent users.
Oh, really?
Yeah, infrequent users were way more likely to be worried about safety.
Like crime and stuff.
Yeah, or even just like the risk of getting hurt.
Okay.
Whereas the people who use green spaces a lot, they didn't really see it as an issue.
So it's like they know the spaces better, maybe.
Could be. Familiarity breeds comfort, right? Mm. But it also shows that we need to design green spaces with safety in mind.
Yeah.
Things like good lighting, clear sight lines, you know, making sure things are well maintained.
Yeah, so you can see what's going on.
Exactly. It all adds up to make people feel safer.
Makes sense. It's about making everyone feel welcome.
Yeah, whether you're there every day or just passing through.
Right. It shouldn't matter.
And it's not just about the physical design.
Oh, okay.
Getting the community involved, having programs and activities that bring people together,
mm-hmm.
that all contributes to making a space feel safer.
So it's like building a sense of ownership.
Exactly. Like people care about the space, so they're more likely to look out for each other.
Right. And it goes back to that whole idea of nature connectedness.
Totally. It's all connected.
So we've talked about safety, accessibility, all these different types of green spaces, user preferences. But what about the actual benefits?
Yeah, like what do people actually get out of these spaces?
Like, because it's got to be more than just aesthetics.
Oh, for sure. And the study dug deep into that. They found people reported all kinds of benefits.
Okay, like what?
Physical health, mental health, stress reduction, even a feeling of community.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like when I go for a walk in the park, I just feel better.
Exactly. It's like a reset button for your mind and body.
Yeah.
And one of the things they found was that people who feel connected to nature, they do more stuff in those spaces.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Like they're not just sitting on a bench. They're jogging. They're cycling, bird watching, taking photos, all kinds of things.
So it's like the more connected you are, the more you want to immerse yourself.
Totally. You're not just a visitor. You're a participant.
Yeah.
And that has implications for how we design these spaces.
How so?
Well, if we want people to really engage with nature, we need to give them more options.
So not just the standard playground and walking path.
Right. Think outside the box. Nature trails, fitness areas, community gardens, spaces for art and music.
Wow. So many possibilities.
The more variety we offer, the more likely people are to find something they love.
And that keeps them coming back.
Exactly. And the more time they spend in nature, the stronger that connection becomes.
It's a virtuous cycle.
Totally. But we can't forget about one other big takeaway from the study.
Okay, what's that?
Peri-urban green spaces.
Peri-urban.
Yeah, the areas just outside the city limits.
Oh, okay. So like that mix of forests and farmland and developing neighborhoods?
Exactly. And those spaces were super important to a lot of people.
Even people who lived in the city.
Yeah, even city dwellers loved those peri-urban forests and nature reserves.
Huh, that's interesting. I guess it makes sense. Like, if you want a really wild experience, you got to go a little further out.
It could be that. Or maybe it's just a deeper connection with nature they're looking for.
Yeah, like an escape from the city.
Exactly. And it kind of challenges how we think about urban planning.
In what way?
Well, we tend to focus on parks within the city limits.
Right, make the city itself greener.
But this study shows that people need and want access to those larger, more natural spaces, too.
So it's about connecting the city to the surrounding landscape.
Exactly. And making those connections seamless.
Like bike paths, walking trails, public transportation that goes beyond the city limits.
That's it. It's all about making it easy for people to get out and experience nature in all its forms.
And it makes you realize that cities aren't separate from nature.
Right. They're part of a larger ecosystem.
And we need to plan accordingly.
Exactly.
Yeah. It really changes how you think about the whole thing, you know? It's not just about bringing nature into the city. It's about recognizing that they're all connected.
Exactly. And it's really important when we think about all the challenges cities are facing these days.
Mm-hmm. Like, what kinds of things are we talking about?
Well, climate change, for one.
Oh, yeah. Pollution.
Pollution, social inequality, the loss of biodiversity. I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah. It feels overwhelming sometimes.
It can be. But the good news is green spaces can help us deal with a lot of these problems.
It's funny, though, right? Because we think of cities as, like, causing those problems, not solving them.
It seems counterintuitive, but cities can be part of the solution, and green spaces are a big part of that.
Okay, I'm listening.
So think about it. Green spaces can help cool down our cities, clean the air and water, they provide homes for wildlife, and they can even create healthier communities.
So it's more than just making cities look pretty. It's about making them function better.
Exactly. It's about resilience and sustainability.
Right. Being able to handle whatever comes our way.
Exactly. And to do that, we need to make sure those green spaces are accessible and enjoyable for everyone.
Not just a select few.
Right. And that's where this study comes in. It shows us what really motivates people to connect with nature in their urban environment.
It's like a guidebook for creating green spaces that people actually want to use.
Exactly. And one of the most important things is that idea of fostering nature connectedness.
Yeah, we keep coming back to that.
Because it really is key. And the study found it's not just about how much time people spend in nature, but also about the quality of that time.
So it's not enough to just like plop a park down in the middle of the city. You have to create spaces that encourage people to actually interact with nature.
Exactly. Brilliant. Give them a reason to explore, to be curious, to feel a sense of wonder.
To feel like they belong.
Exactly. And when people feel connected to nature, they're more likely to care for those spaces and protect them.
Which is what we need, right? If we want those spaces to survive and thrive.
Absolutely. It's a collective effort.
But how do we get people excited about nature? Especially people who might not have grown up around it.
That's a great question. And the study suggests it starts with giving people opportunities to experience nature in meaningful ways, even small ways.
Okay, give me some examples.
Plant trees in neighborhoods, create community gardens, encourage people to take a few minutes each day to just observe nature.
To really look at it and appreciate it.
Exactly. Those small actions can make a big difference.
It's about reminding people that nature isn't just something out there. It's all around us.
Even in the middle of the city.
Yeah. And if we can help people see that, I think we can start to build that connection that we've been talking about.
The connection that's so important for all of us.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into urban green spaces in Sweden, I'm left with this feeling of optimism.
Me too.
Like we can learn so much from their approach.
They're really leading the way when it comes to creating cities that work for both people and the planet.
Exactly. And this study gives us a roadmap for how to do that.
Yeah.
It's about seeing green spaces as essential, not optional.
They're not just amenities, they're investments in our future.
I love that. And, you know, as you're going about your day, take a moment to appreciate the green spaces in your own community.
Yeah, even if it's just a small park or a tree-lined street.
Those spaces matter.
They do, and they're worth protecting.
So thanks for joining us on this deep dive into urban green spaces.
It's been a pleasure.
And until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep connecting with the natural world around you.